Shai Shechter. Rav Shai Shechter serves as the rabbi and the Rosh Beis Medrash of the Young Israel of Woodmere. He's also the rabbi and the spiritual leader of Yachad, as well as the rabbi of Camp Sifcha, which really speaks to the impact that he has not just on one community, but on Klal Yisrael as a whole. He received smicha, having learned with his illustrious father, Rav Herschel Shechter Shlita, for 9 years, and further as smicha from Rav Asher Weiss, again just showing the broadness and how much Rav Shechter is steeped in intensive and serious Talmud Torah. But in addition to being an outstanding Talmud Chacham himself, his shiurim are also highly sought after, both because of their clarity and because of their dynamic and engaging and even enjoyable manner. With that, it's our honor, it's our great kavod to welcome Rav Shechter this morning and to appreciate him making himself available to speak to us. Thank you, Rav Shechter.
Dedicated in memory of Donny Morris, and I'm touched and I'm moved to be using such a shtender. We hope that his schus will be something that will stand for all of us. And I thank Rabbi Kahner, Rabbi Shenker for putting together this morning's program. I'm really happy to be here, especially to talk about something that I love so much, to talk about tefillah. Let's begin. I just want to share with you a short snippet from the Israeli news. It was something that came out in the Israeli news in the middle of August. And I've thought about it so much since the time that I saw it. It was actually Tess Elul, Tavshin Pei Aleph. And the story is as follows. Person opens up by saying his name is David Sadeh. Ishtiva ani avarnu lo mizman l'moshav Beit Meir. My wife and I recently relocated. We were living somewhere else in Israel. We relocated to a small yeshuv outside of the Merkaz Yerushalayim, and we moved to Beit Meir. Unfortunately, he says, Hayom, today, which was Tes Elo, Hayom barachnu mimena. Today, we unfortunately had to escape. We had to evacuate from this beautiful new home that we moved into, Bisrefar Gadol Beharei Yushalayim, because there was a raging fire. I don't know if we all remember, but there were terrible forest fires in the middle of the summer. And he says that he just moved to this community, and now there was a fire, he had to move out. And he goes through what it was like going through that experience. Kasher L'tayar Tatrusha. It's hard for me, he says, to describe and to illustrate. What does that feel like? When you're living in a blissful, beautiful experience, and then suddenly you get a knock on the door that you have a few minutes to get out before your life is in jeopardy. And you look out the window, he says, all I see is that there is a huge cloud of smoke outside of my home. V'ata matchila sholas atzmacha, you start to ask yourself, I have 5 minutes to take everything. What am I supposed to take? And he's not sure exactly what to do. And he says, I started thinking to myself, life is just so perfect and so beautiful, and now life is about to be destroyed, and I really am not sure of all the wonderful things and the great memories I have in my house. Where do I begin? What do I take with me? Then I realize the 5 minutes that I realized I thought I had are now down to 2 minutes. And I really have nothing to take with me because I'm not sure. And he starts rummaging, scrambling through his house. And he writes, it was a matzav mafkid. It was terrifying. It was dreadful. And he writes that he begins to ask himself, what are the most crucial, what are the most indispensable items of my life that I absolutely cannot leave without? And what perhaps are the things that might be more trivial and secondary to my life? And he starts making that calculation. finally he says he relocated with his wife without really paying attention to what they took along with them in their bag. And that night, wherever it was that they went to sleep, outside of the area, he opens up his bag and he says to his wife, "You know, I'm curious. What did we take? What made it into the bag?" And to their utter shock, they realized that the only things they took were talis and tefillin, a few sidurim, and a chumash. And he said, "I realized for the first time in my life, although I don't think about it so often, I realized for the first time in my life what is the most essential, indispensable item that I have in my life." You see, we had no children in the house. It was just my wife and I. And instinctively, what both of us felt was the most critical, crucial item to take along with us was a siddur, a chumash, a talis and tefillin, and maybe a tehillim as well. And I've thought about that story a lot, because it's an opportunity for us to think every so often, what are the most indispensable items that we have in our lives? And there are raging fires out there in the world. And you think about, when you look out of your window, what is it that you see? And there are many parents in the room, and we as parents are concerned. What is it that we are going to protect our children from? How much can we do to shield them and to save them from all that's going on out there in the world? And every so often we ask ourselves, well, what is it that are my core values? What are the most important items in my life? And what would I do if I only had 3 minutes to figure that out? So this morning, I feel it's a great privilege for all of us to be together to focus on what we believe is the most indispensable item in our lives. You're going to learn Torah together with your children and their Rabbeim. You have an opportunity particularly to focus on tefillah, which, as all of us know, is just a way to re-emphasize our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's something we're supposed to feel all the time. But this really gives us an opportunity to focus on something that we believe is so important and is so vital. And it's no doubt that you'll come out this morning after learning with your children's Rabbeim and with your own children. It's an opportunity just to remind ourselves, what is the most important ticket item in our life? And what are we doing about it to show our children that this is what we value most, more than anything else, as the fires are raging outside? So let's begin by introducing what I believe is a puzzling, very obscure Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Erevin that two Amoraim were having a conversation. Shmuel was talking to his friend Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, "You know, I'm thinking about life, I'm thinking about the world, and I come to the conclusion, Hi Allah, Kibay Gilula Damya, it seems to me that this world is like a big wedding. It's like a big gala festive celebration. Chatofe Echol. Take advantage and eat whatever you can." An interesting comment. Very hard to understand exactly what he means. And there's a discussion among the Rishonim. They try to grapple, they struggle to figure out what exactly did he mean by that comment, that this world is like a wedding, this world is like a gala festive celebration. Is that really what the world is? How do you understand that? So some Rishonim say, what it means is as follows. You know, we prepare so much for a great day of celebration, for a wedding, and all the planning and all the details that go into it, and all the arrangements, and you call the caterer, and you call the photographer, and you call everybody that needs to be there. And after all that, months and months of preparation, you come to the wedding, and what's left? After all is said and done, it's so fleeting. It goes by so quickly. And there's not so much time to really appreciate what it is that's happened. After all your preparation and all that you've done, and the Rishonim say perhaps what the Gemara means is we prepare so much and we invest and we put so much into the lives that we live, make sure to turn around every so often and actually take advantage of the opportunity that you have, because life is so fleeting. Life is so temporal, and we don't often have the chance to turn around and really appreciate what it is. So that's what some Rishonim explain That's what this means. When I took a position 7 years ago in the Young Israel of Woodmere, so that evening, my Rebbe from Yerushalayim, Rav Asher Weiss, called me and we were talking about a bunch of different things, and he shared with me an idea that he said, don't ever forget this. Every day that you're in your position, don't ever forget this. He told me this Gemara, and he said, you know, let me tell you what I think it means. He said, have you ever been to a Hasidisha wedding? I said, yeah, I have been. So he says, think about it. The wedding starts at whatever time, 6 o'clock. But the family's there earlier, they're taking pictures, they're doing what has to be done. And then as time goes on, a couple more people come, the aunts, the uncles, they show up. The closest friends come at 6. Friends that are not as close come at 6:30. And it starts filling up, and then you have the chuppah, and it's packed. And then you have the dinner, and everyone's sitting and enjoying, and it's great. And it goes until 3 o'clock in the morning. Some of these Hasidic weddings go on forever, because they have a batchan who comes late at night, and they have a mitzvah tanz. And he said, who's there at 3 o'clock in the morning with the chasen and kala? Who's there after all is said and done? 12 hours in a hall. Who's still there at 3 o'clock in the morning? It's the closest family members. Don't ever forget, at 3 o'clock in the morning, the only people who are going to be there for you are your closest family members. Don't ever neglect them. Regardless of whatever position you hold, your family is the most important asset that you have. And perhaps he felt that's what the Gemara teaches. This world is not just like a wedding, it's like a Hasidic wedding. And remember, at 3 o'clock in the morning, the only people who will be there for you are your closest family. Always appreciate them. And always remember what they bring to your life. It's an opportunity for us this morning to appreciate family, to appreciate our children, to appreciate our parents, to think about what we mean to each other and how special this experience is. But let me share with you one final idea on this Gemara. One of the Talmidim al Shem Tov says, perhaps what it means, if you look in the Sefer Tolos Yaakov Yosef, you'll find this idea, where he says, perhaps what the Gemara means, Hay Alma Kibay Mula Damya, is as follows. We come to a wedding, he says, and there are all kinds of guests, people flying from all over the world. And it's just all kinds of great things going on there. And you have food, and you look at the smorgasbord, and you see all kinds of different options, and everyone's enjoying. And you have an assortment of beverages, and people can choose to make whatever they like. And so many different rooms. And it's very intriguing, it's very interesting. And then you go into the next room and you see floral arrangements and you see an elaborate orchestra and you see singers and you see tables that are set and it's beautiful. Now what would happen if after all this, after all the beauty that you see, imagine you come under the chuppah, chasen and kala are standing there and the chasen says, you know, not so sure that I want to go ahead with this. Imagine if at that moment he neglects, he withdraws, and he says, you know, I'm not prepared to say Harayat Mekudeshesli. We did obviously appreciate and love each other, but right now I'm just not so sure about this. Suddenly, in 1 second, the entire experience that was so uplifting, that was so special for everybody here, suddenly becomes extremely uncomfortable. And nobody really knows what to do. Everybody's looking at each other. What do we do now? Where do we go? What's supposed to happen now that the chasen has pulled back and he's not prepared to commit himself? And he writes, that's what the Gemara means. This world is so enjoyable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to take pleasure in his world. That's why he made it this way. He wants us to appreciate all that he's given us the opportunity to experience. But every so often you need to stop and ask yourself, do I ever turn and say, Harayat HaKudeshes leads to the Ribono Shel Olam? Do I ever turn around and say that I'm committing myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is my beloved? Without that, the entire experience, the whole existence of the world that we live in becomes awkward. It becomes uncomfortable, like being a guest at that wedding where the chasen and kala don't commit to each other. What do you do next? And he writes that this is what the Gemara's intention was. That every so often we need to stop and ask ourselves and remind ourselves of the goal, of the purpose, of the objective, of the ambition that we have for experiencing life in this world. And there's no greater way for us to have that reminder than when we engage in tefillah. Tefillah is our connection. Tefillah is our contact. It's our attachment with our HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day. It's an opportunity that we have. But it's meant to be more than just another mitzvah. Tefillah is an experience. Tefillah is a conversation. Tefillah is a dialogue. It's not like the mitzvah of shofar. It's not like lulav. It's not like tzitzis. It's not like any of the other mitzvahs that we do. This is a conversation. This is a relationship that we have. It's an experience. It's an encounter. You know, there's an amazing story that's told about somebody who lived in a simple, small town, a small village. Somebody once told him that, you should know, this is really not the only experience of life that is out there. You know, there are some big cities out there that are metropolises. You wouldn't believe it. There are big businesses that are running. He says, how could it be? I've never heard of such a thing. He decides that he's going to go out and see for himself. So he travels on his wagon. He goes to the nearby town and he sees there are lights everywhere. He sees there are people all over the place. Takes out a hotel in the center of town and he says, I'm going to take the top floor of the hotel so I could watch everything that's going on. And he can't believe it. There he is watching. He's mesmerized by all that he sees. And he's really here to broaden his own horizons, to expand his mind, to see a greater perspective. And he's completely amazed by the bustle and the commotion of everything going on in town. And he sees all kinds of different things that he's never seen in his life before. He sees so many different stores and shops that are selling all kinds of goods and all the amenities that one could ever imagine. And he sees professionals for the first time in his life. He said, I thought everybody was farmers. Never seen anything like this. Can't get over it. One evening in the middle of the night, he's trying to sleep and he hears a great commotion outside. He looks out the window, he sees there's somebody in the middle of the town square standing there with a big pot, and he's banging on a pot with a spoon at 3 o'clock in the morning. He can't understand that everyone's rushing for this individual. Can't figure out what's going on. He finally runs outside, he says, what's happening? Why are you making so much noise? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He says, yes, I know, but there's a fire on the other side of town. So, I gotta make some noise. Okay. He watches what's going on. After a couple of minutes, much to his shock, the fire is out. And he's amazed. This town knows how to do everything. He can't get over it. A couple of weeks later, he's back in his own hometown. 3 o'clock in the morning, there's a fire in the middle of the night. And everybody starts screaming. They don't know what to do. There's no firemen. And everyone's a big commotion. Everyone's running all over the place. He says, everybody calm down. I spent some time in the big city. I know how to deal with these kinds of problems. You have nothing to worry about. Everyone's looking at him. Yeah, we'd like to learn from your experience. Let's hear. He says, it's very simple. Just take it easy. Runs outside in the middle of town with a big pot and a spoon. He starts banging on the pot. He says, just take it easy. The fire will be put out. Nothing to worry about. It will go out. I saw this happen. Everyone's looking at him like he's crazy. How is he going to put out a fire by banging on a pot? He's like, I'm telling you. I watched this in the other town, in the other village, and the fire went out. People are screaming and yelling. Meanwhile, the house is burning down. The town is in danger. People say, you're out of your mind. Nothing's going to happen. They finally all decide to put out the fire on their own. Now, what mistake did he make? What he didn't understand was, obviously, the banging on the pot does nothing. Banging on a pot does not put out fires. Banging on a pot inspires people to come out because there's something wrong. And by doing so, they then take the water and run to the fire and put it out. But without that second step, you have nothing. And some Bali Musar explained that this is the experience of our tefillah. You ever watch people who daven? Sometimes there's a lot of banging on the pot. Sometimes they bend over and eslaf lanu, and we open the Aron Kodesh and we close it, avinu malkeinu, and we're bending down, we're standing up, we're sitting down, all kinds of different things. It's all nice, and it all makes sense, as long as it leads to the next stage of the process, which is, you then have to do something with all the bending on the body. You have to take it forward and make sure that by all of the different activities and actions that you're doing, by the sitting, the standing, the bending, the moving around, all of that has to lead a person to an experience, to think, to understand what it is. It has to be genuine, it has to be real. We say Kedusha, we lift our feet, we say Baruch, we bend down. We have responses back and forth. All of that is fine as long as it leads to the next stage, which is person understanding and appreciating what it is that tefillah is all about. What it is that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to be all about. Tefillah is so powerful. Tefillah is so potent. It's something the Gemara talks about. But it's something that we need to make sure is sincere. It has to be genuine. It has to be real. It has to be heartfelt. So the Chafetz Chaim tells the story about a person who was having great difficulty making a parnasa. He really didn't have a job. And somebody told him that he should invest in a new business, a new venture, but he didn't have money to invest in it. So he goes to his friend and he says, you know, I know that you are doing very well. Would you have any interest in helping me out? I'm trying to get off the ground. I want to get a business started. Friend says, absolutely. I just can't do it right now. Can you meet me in my office? I take off for lunch at 12 o'clock. Let's meet today. Come to my office and we'll discuss it. I'm happy to help you. 12 o'clock comes, 12 o'clock goes. Nowhere to be found. Waits around 12:15, 12:30. This person doesn't show up. He decides he's going to go on his lunch break. He walks outside, goes to a local restaurant, orders some lunch. On his way back, he bumps into his friend. He said, where were you? 12 o'clock, we made up. We were going to do something together. We were going to talk. Well, this came up, that came up, a bunch of different things. I had the carpools, I was late, there was a traffic jam, I couldn't make it, I'm sorry. Okay, I understand. Things happen. Not your fault. Can we try again for tomorrow? Sure, no problem. Let's try again for tomorrow, 12 o'clock. Next day, 12 o'clock, comes 12 o'clock, goes 12:15, 12:30, nothing doing, he doesn't show up. Can't believe it, the second day in a row. He missed the opportunity to talk to me. Doesn't understand, how could this be? And once again, he goes out to get his lunch and he bumps into this individual in the street. He says, where were you? How could it be? Where have you been? Well, something happened. We had an issue in the family. There was a leak in the ceiling. I just couldn't leave the house. I have to stay home a little bit longer. I'm sorry, I'm late. He says, okay, things happen. I understand. We're going to try this one more time. Tomorrow, 12 o'clock, it's Tuesday. Figure out how to be there at 12 o'clock. That's when we're going to discuss this. The same thing happens the next day. He doesn't show up. Finally, he bumps into him in the street. He says, are you serious or you're not? If you're serious about it and you really mean what you're saying, then you would show up on time. And you would figure out how to be there. And all the excuses and all the reasons why you couldn't come would somehow disappear. But you're obviously not so serious about it. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, Kadosh Baruch Hu asks us, look through the words of the tefillah that you say every day. We say to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, B'hayrei neinu b'sar asecha, please make me a Talmid Chacham, allow me to have insight into your Torah, allow me to become great, allow me to have an understanding of what you are, what you represent. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, great, let's have a meeting today. Show up, I'll give you what you're asking for. And we say the same b'libeinu, l'havinu l'haskil l'shma, l'havinu l'hame. And we have so many refrains, so many different things that we talk about. B'li Yerushalayim, 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 we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, return us to Yerushalayim. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm ready. How serious are you? How much do you mean it? How much do you really want it? Do you live a life that shows me that this is really something you're sincerely asking for? Is this something that really means what you're saying it means? Writes the Chafetz Chaim, we have to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we really mean what we say. And Rav Zevin points out in one of his beautiful stories, and maybe that's what the Navi means when he says, Kichui Machem Barei B'Shuvu El Hashem. Doing tshuva does not mean going to the other corners of the globe and coming up with some wild idea of how we're going to change and transform ourselves. He says, Kichui Machem Barei B'Shuvu El Hashem. Look in the Siddur and think about what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the time. And that will be the greatest way to once again reconnect and return to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, one of the very difficult parts of the mitzvah of tefillah, and I have high school kids in our community who ask this question all the time, is, does God really care about Zmanei Tefillah? He telling me I have to say Kriya Shema by this time? What if I miss it? Does he really care? He's that petty? The Ribbono Shel Olam really cares if I made it Mincha before Shkia or after Shkia? HaKadosh Baruch Hu really cares if it's not Tefillah? I'm on vacation! Leave me alone! I have to wake up early to say Kriya Shema at this time, Shema Esrei at that time, and I have to stop everything I'm doing to daven Mincha in the middle of the day? The Ribbono Shel Olam really cares? I'm praying, I'm davening, I'm doing my thing, I'm talking to him. Does it matter what time it is? It's an important question, something many of us struggle with. And the Chafetz Chaim writes that it reminded him. It was a man who was blessed with a young daughter. And right after she was born, he was already looking forward to the day that he was going to marry her off, and he was so excited. But he remembered that it cost a lot of money to make a wedding. And he was not a wealthy man at all, but he said, I am going to provide my daughter with everything she will ever need. I just am so excited that I've been blessed with a girl, and I'm so happy to have her grow up in my home and ultimately build her own home. I'm going to help her as much as I can. So from the day she was born, anytime he had a little bit of extra money, he put it aside in a vault somewhere, and he said, when the time comes, I'm going to pull it all out, I'm going to help her. 20 years go by, his daughter starts dating, she finds a wonderful shidduch, and he's so excited. This man's been saving up money for his whole life. Takes out that vault, takes out the crisp dollar bills that no one's ever touched, and he starts going to the local stores. He wants to buy all the different amenities that they need for her home. As he's going through the different stores, everybody's laughing at him. Nah, we're not going to negotiate. We're not going to do business with you. Can't understand. Goes into another store and he sees the same response, the same reaction. And he's circling around aimlessly. He can't figure out, why does nobody want to do business with me? Maybe I'm such a wealthy businessman because of all the money that I've saved. These are small-time people. So he goes to the bank. And he says, the bank knows how to deal with big money. Maybe these small shop owners don't know how to deal with me. So he goes to the bank, brings in his big vault full of money, and he sees how people in front of him online are giving ripped up dollar bills, and they're all crumpled up in their bags, and everything's working fine. He's like, if the bank is taking their money, they're certainly going to take mine. Finally comes to his turn, and he gives the money to the teller. The teller says, these have been out of circulation for 10 years already. We can't accept this. And he turns to the teller and he says, I don't understand. But look how nice they are. They're perfect. No one's ever touched them. I've kept them in the perfect condition. All the people in front of me online are taking out their wallets, and their dollar bills are all crumpled up. They're in horrible condition. You accepted all of those. You can't accept mine. And the teller responds, obviously, of course, I appreciate the fact that your money is in such good condition, but it's of no value when it's out of circulation. We can't use this money. We stopped using these dollar bills quite a long time ago. And at this point, they are no longer valuable. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, you can have the greatest kavanah in the world. You can make the most beautiful and perfect tefillah with all the kavanah, and you can have an opportunity to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam and to realize that he's there in your presence, but you're out of circulation. You say Kriya Shema after this, not Kriya Shema. It's out of circulation. You daven Shacharis when it's after this, not. It's out of circulation. And all the kavanah you have is lovely, but it's worth nothing because it's out of circulation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a system. The Chachamim told us Shacharis is to reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the morning, and Mincha is an opportunity to reconnect with the Ribbono Shel Olam in the afternoon, and Maariv gives us a chance to reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the evening, and Kriya Shema is when it's supposed to be said, and Birchas HaMazon is when it's special time for that. Everything has its time. You have to make sure to do it while all of that is still in circulation. Otherwise, all that we do can potentially be meaningless and unhelpful. Let me just close. I know you have an important schedule of shiur that everyone needs to get to. Close with a story that I read a number of years ago about one of the great Rashi Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. His name was Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. He passed away in 2006. And he told over the story well into his 90s. He lived to a ripe old age, and he told the story how when he was a young child, his father was a great Jew whose name was Rav Aryeh Shapiro, who was the Av Bez Din. He was the chief rabbi of Bialystok. Not Bialystok or synagogue. It was Bialystok in Europe. And he writes that his father, on one occasion when he was a young child, when Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro was a young child, not to be confused, by the way, with Rav Moshe Shapiro, two different people, great Jews, both of them, but in very different ways. So Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro writes, when he was a young child, his father once told him, at 10 o'clock this morning, the Chafetz Chaim is on a train, and he's going to be passing through the city of Bialystok. And there's a stop here in Bialystok where they're going to stop for 5 or 10 minutes. And we've arranged that the Chafetz Chaim is going to come out onto the street, and the whole town is going to greet him and be able to have the opportunity to be blessed from the Chafetz Chaim. 10 o'clock this morning, make sure you be there at the train station. And he says, I was 5 years old, and I didn't understand. What do I care if the Chafetz Chaim's coming to town? Chafetz Chaim means nothing to me. I don't even know anything about the Chafetz Chaim. His father started to explain to him, no, Chafetz Chaim is the leader of our generation. What an opportunity you have. We don't have the gift of going to Radom to visit him, but at least he's coming to our town to Bialystok. You should come out to the train. The whole town is going to be there. He says, my father tried to encourage me. I was with all of my friends. We were playing in the sandbox, he writes. My father comes back at 9 o'clock to remind me a second time. You have an hour until the Chafetz Chaim comes out by the train station. Make sure you're there. So I continued to ignore him. I was playing with my friends. 9:30, my father comes back for a third time. And again, I was there, 5 years old, playing with my friends. I was not paying attention. His father comes with a last reminder, 9:45. He says, listen, Moshe, I'm going to the train station now because I don't want to miss it. This is the last chance that I'm giving you to come along with me. And he said, I made a decision. I'm going to stay with my friends and play in the sandbox. Into his 90s, he said that he continues to have regret that he missed that once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that he was given. Can you imagine? I could have seen the face of the Chafetz Chaim. I could have interacted with him, and I chose not to. All because I was doing what? Because I was playing in a sandbox with my friends. And Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro said that as he got older, he realized it's not only an experience that he had when he was 5 years old. It's an experience that he has all the time. It repeats itself. That we don't take advantage of the opportunities to see the face of our Kadosh Baruch Hu, not the Chafetz Chaim, but much greater. To interact, to connect with the Ribono Shel Olam. It's an opportunity that we have every single day. And we say no to it because we're busy playing in the sandbox. Maybe we're not playing in the same sandbox that he was at 5 years old, but we're busy playing on our phones. We're busy doing our own sandbox. We're busy doing our own things. And we say to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, I don't have the time or the headspace for you right now because I'm busy. What am I busy doing? I'm with my friends. I'm on vacation. I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't have time. I don't have space for this. I don't have the energy. I don't have the mindset. And said Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, this was a decision that he regretted for the rest of his life. He encouraged his students, don't make the same poor choice that I made when I was 5 years old. Tefillah is a gift that we have to connect with the Ribono Shel Olam. It's an opportunity that we're given that we just need to take advantage of. That we need to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for the taking. The Ribbono Shel Olam is here to communicate with us, for us to communicate with Him. He's here for us to connect with and to build a relationship with. Hi, Alma Kibay Hilul Adami, this world is like a festive celebration. Take advantage of the opportunity that we have, but every so often turn around and ask yourself, did I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hareyat B'Kadesh Asli? Did I commit myself to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, I'm here to build and develop a connection and a relationship with you? There's no greater way to do that than to begin to focus on our tefillah, to think seriously about what tefillah means to us, what it can mean, what the potential is, and how much nachas ruach, how much enjoyment and pleasure HaKadosh Baruch Hu can have from connecting with his children as well. I wish all of you a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Rav Shechter.